I'm feeling my age a bit this morning. I remembered a strange memory that came back to me, 1996, as a young pastor, younger than I am now, and at my first baby dedication, leading the congregation with a handwritten acetate with "Football's Coming Home." And it seemed like a great idea at the time, but it was it just dawned on me how much the world has changed. Yeah, I mean, if you don't know what I'm talking about, acetates and overhead projectors, then they were really part of ancient history. High tech, yeah, with following down the line by line with a pen. Yeah, but there we are. Anyway, as you know, we are on Acts chapter 3 this morning. Peter heals a lame beggar, and Jill has done a great job with the children's video, giving us a dramatized presentation of the story. So I'm sure we'll do that, but we'll come back to it as it's in the scripture as well as time goes by. But it's in Acts chapter 3. It's been said that the Acts of the Apostles should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The apostles weren't actually, when you read it through, they weren't actually in control of what was going on. It wasn't part of their planning or their strategy. They didn't have a committee where they sat down and said, right, we're going to go here and do this many healings, and this preach to this, and we're going to get this many people converted. It just seemed to be happening around them. They didn't plan, strategize, or organize the agenda. From the time Jesus told them to wait for the Holy Spirit, they were out of control, and he was firmly in control. He went ahead of them in all sorts of surprising ways. Most of the Acts of the Apostles consisted of them playing catch-up, it seems, with what God was doing and responding accordingly. The apostles would go and visit somewhere, and they said, when we saw the grace of God, then we did this, that, and the other. There was an observing of all that God was doing among them. And that, I think, is the nature of revival, that in our world and in the church, to be honest, don't we? We love to plan and budget and organize and predict. I know, because a lot of what I do is administrative in nature. We like to know what's happening next. But God, when he really moves, moves in power and in surprising ways. And we have to be prepared. It's humbling, isn't it, to be those who play catch up. And, this is what is happening. I think in many ways, I think I've mentioned it before, what we've been through over these last 16, 18 months has been a little bit like that. That nobody, I remember coming to a meeting, a breakfast here, and people were talking about coronavirus. None of us knew what it was. And Jonathan was saying, you know, we need to be careful because apparently it's coming to Sheffield. And that was it. That was all we knew. And then suddenly we were thrown into an entirely new way of doing things. And of course, we see reasons for that, and we understand how that has happened. But we should also see the hand of God in that he has changed us. And as we come and emerge out of it, we know that we are different people and that the church is different and our approach to our work is different. The people of God have always longed to see God move in power and impact. But when he actually moves, he often does it by surprise. Have you ever read those books, Surprised by the Power of the Spirit by Jack Deere? The wind blows wherever it pleases, as Jesus said. No one knows where it comes from or where it's going. And we just have to be those who are prepared to feel its power, and in this case, his power. And so this event at the temple began with a very normal and routine intention. Peter and John went up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. It wasn't the first time that Peter and John had been to the temple. This was an everyday occurrence. They'd received the Holy Spirit, but they still had a structure and a routine that defined their worship and defined their devotion. And sometimes we think that a church full of the Holy Spirit is one that has no planning at all, no organization, no structure, no shape, no nothing. We just turn up and do whatever the guy with the guitar tells us to do. Well, that's normal, isn't it? But there was a commitment and a resilience to express their worship. They did what they knew to do. And so must we. We have to put ourselves in the way of grace. We have to We have to go through our normal expressions and routines in order that we might be in a position where we can see God move in power. And that's why it's good what Andy was encouraging us to be prepared for the changes that are coming as we emerge out of lockdown and we potentially, God willing, move to unrestricted gatherings and unrestricted services. Then we have an opportunity. This is our place of grace. And we have a great opportunity to be together and worship together in this place. But it takes a plan. It takes a decision, which might be hard after 18 months sitting on the sofa watching me and Erica rattle on about nothing in particular. And we've got to make a plan to be here, but it's good to be together. Now, so this wasn't the first time they had encountered this man. He was placed in the same place every day to beg from those going into the temple. So surely, using my logic, that means that until this day, Peter and John, as they went up to the temple to worship, had walked past him every day. There wasn't an expectation or an assumption in them that they had the ability or even the mandate to heal every lame and sick person that was there. It didn't cross their minds as they walked past him to go into the temple. He was just part of the furniture, part of the normal environment. Everybody knew him. It just so happened that on this day, everyone was surprised by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have an intention, you know, let's have a plan. Today is our healing day. We're going to go and get, you know, find some people and get them healed. They were just going about their normal business. And this man asked them for money, no doubt as he had done before. And in that moment, there was a connection. There was an interface with the Holy Spirit, and Peter was energized and inspired to do something in that moment. Something I don't know, but I believe as you read this passage, you can see that he wasn't actually planning this. He wasn't actually anticipating this, but God moved in that moment. And as he looked out, reached out to them and said, "Can you give me some money?" Peter said, "Look at us." And so the man gave them his attention, expecting, no doubt, to get something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." This is a cue for a song, but I don't think I'll do it. This was not an act of the apostles. It was an act of the Holy Spirit. And in that moment of divine encounter, a number of things were set which should inform our mission and ministry today. Number one, God is able to transform situations that have looked the same forever. In the face of constant and seemingly unchangeable circumstances, our expectation must be that God can change things and will often do it suddenly and without warning. So we need to be alert and we need to be prepared. We have no control over when he does that. And that's the frustrating thing. That's the source of much of our angst and our confusion about things. Why can't we pray and make things happen? Remember Adrian Plass trying to move a paperclip with his prayers? You know, why can't we sort this out? Is it that we don't have enough faith in all of that? But God is able, and we need to be alert, and we need to be ready. We need to be prepared to be surprised by the power of the Holy Spirit. And how we need that? In a world that has given up, not only on faith, but on any expectation of the supernatural. And so we need to be ready. Number two, we need to be ready to take any initiative on the impulse of the Spirit, but not to assume that we have the power or mandate to simply do or achieve what we want to happen. This is not the acts of the church, the acts of MCF. This is the acts of the Holy Spirit, and God moves, and the impulse of the Spirit will come as we move in response and obedience to him, as we step out into this new world that we're emerging into. We need to expect that the impulse of the Holy Spirit will come at a moment when we don't expect it. They saw this man every day. I don't know if they ignored him, but they walked past him every day, and on that moment, the impulse of the Spirit said to them, "Now, this is when I'm going to do something." And we need to be ready and prepared to move on the impulse of the Spirit. We need to understand that the weapons of our warfare and the tools of our ministry are not the same ones that everyone else uses. There's a phrase often used in Zambia, actually, and I've heard it many times, it says, "Money answers all things." And in actual fact, our first reaction is, oh, no, 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 the world's not, it's not about money. But in actual fact, it's broadly true. Many problems in this world could be solved if we had a decent amount of money. An appropriate financial resource. And this man thought, well, you know, what I need, he had no expectation, no understanding that his situation could ever change. He was born lame. He'd never walked. He just was carried every day to the temple. This was his life and ever would be. So what he really needed was some money to make his life a bit easier. Peter, though, was clear. We have no money to offer you. So we cannot give you what you're asking for, cannot give you what you expect, cannot give you what you think will solve your problem. But what we can give you, what we do have, we give you. And that is something that sets the church apart from every other agency and every other group and every other organization on the face of the earth. What we have, we can give you. We have something that nobody else has. We have something that no other organization has, no other agency, no government has. What we have, we give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that's an exciting place to be, and that's an inspiring place to be as we consider what mission is all about. That, yeah, there are things that we can do to make life easier for people. We can help people, and it's right that we take social responsibility and all of that. But there is something on top, something else that the church has, that nobody else has, and we are able to give them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so much strategy can be to do with offering immediate relief to immediate problems. And there's nothing wrong with that, of course, but ultimately, deep within ourselves, the heart of what we have to offer is fundamentally different in nature to anything that anyone else can offer. As we emerge from the pandemic, what we have to offer, what we have to bring to the discussion, what we have to direct people with is something fundamentally different than anything else that can be offered by anybody else. And so we shouldn't lose the expectation that God will move in power to transform lives miraculously. Now, you know, and I know, that when we consider the miraculous and the supernatural power of God, there is always a tension. There is always a controversy. There is always a difficulty in understanding, yeah, but what about? What about this? What about that? Why? There's so many confusing questions that come into our mind, even as we hold the faith and the belief in the miraculous power of God. What I think they were doing here and what God was doing here is making a proclamation of the kingdom of God, a message of eternal hope, an invitation into the promises of the kingdom of God, that God uses miracles to make a statement of his broader purpose. This is, you know, here is the word and here is the demonstration of my power. In that moment, in that instant, he did something amazing in the life of that man, but not necessarily establishing a healthcare policy for his church for all time. You see, I believe in miracles. You believe in miracles, I believe. I've seen the power of God at work. And I've also wrestled, like all of us have, with the questions that arise when God doesn't move as we hoped he would, when he doesn't answer prayers that we longed for him to answer. It's an unavoidable fact that this incident at the temple gate wasn't actually a precursor to a campaign of the church to now go and raise up every sick and lame person in the known world. This was not the end of sickness and suffering in the world. This was a momentary demonstration of the power of God as part of the proclamation of the eternal hope of his kingdom. His kingdom, where every corruption, every sickness, every sadness, every grief was going to be turned around, not by human strategy, but by the creative power of God. Moments like this lift the curtain on what is ahead of us all. It becomes an indicator of what theologians sometimes call the now but not yet of the kingdom. A beautiful and powerful glimpse of heavenly reality, even while we wrestle with the corruption of the earth. Because I can't stand here with a clear conscience and promise you that all sickness and all suffering is now ended forever if only we have enough faith. But I can promise with a full voice that we are inheriting a kingdom in which it is ended. And through faith in Christ, we are all part of that inheritance. It's a signpost, a pointer to strengthen us on our journey to where we are going. Because I, like you no doubt, have stood at so many hospital beds and so many gravesides to know that the suffering of this world is real. But in recognizing that, we're also able to offer something that nobody else can. In the midst of all of that, real hope, real expectation, real joy that the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's the message that they had. Not just, you know, they were a different type of believer now, a different type of religious person. But as they walked in the power of the Holy Spirit, in that moment, the Spirit came and worked through them and demonstrated in real time, in three-dimensional power, that here the kingdom of God is at hand and look what is happening. It was a visual aid, if you like, to enhance and empower the preaching. Real hope. Real expectation of a world where all of that is gone. In the context of what we're living through at the moment, we talk about restrictions all the time. I just heard the other day, it struck me as great when somebody talked about the future hope that we have, where there are no restrictions. But in the meantime, and just for a little while, we live with them. But God is gracious enough to give us a glimpse, to give us a window, to give us an understanding, to give us a real demonstration of what is ahead of us. And that's what I believe was happening here. There's a theology that says if we have enough faith, we can see the restoration of any situation. Anything we choose, just have enough faith. I've heard people say, you know, somebody's sick and people are praying for them, say, well, if only I could pray for them, then, you know, if only we could get enough people together, or, you know, all of these strategies and ideas that we have. And yet we don't marry it up with the fact that Jesus said, if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move a mountain. So the amount of faith is never actually the issue. Miracles and knowledge of miracles have the power to keep us focused on the vision, regardless of what we go through, even when we don't see what we hope for, even when we don't get what we want. And so today, in a room full of people, and people at home, thousands and thousands of people, oh no, that's tonight. I'm sure there's a few. Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're wrestling with, lift up your head and look up and look out, because we are recipients of a promise, of a promised kingdom, confirmed by signs of wonders. The kingdom of God is at hand and it is ours. And that any issues, this is the word that comes that brings us life, any issues that we face, any struggles that we have, any suffering that we are going through, really are light and momentary troubles that will achieve for us a glory that far outweighs them all. And God is gracious enough not just to leave us, but to give us signposts and pointers and lights along the way to show us all that it is. And so we should be people that are expectant of the power of God. We should be people that are expectant of the miraculous. But our message is not immediate relief to immediate problems. Our message is an eternal one. And so we hold it out to people with real hope and expectation and an understanding that God is on the move again, and we need to move with Him and in step with Him. Like you said, not the Acts of the Apostles, but the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The future of MCF, let it be written that it was the Acts of God in this area, that we saw the movement of the power of the Spirit of God in people's lives as the kingdom of God was proclaimed. Amen. Thank you.